Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh. I don't know what the hell I hear.
Okay, maybe it's not going to play. I tried a new intro song today, but I'm going to go ahead and stop that. I was trying to play Fanga from Dragon Ritual Drummers. Well, hello, folks. So I guess
hi, folks.
Intro song tonight.
Fuck it. Give a shit.
Here, we'll go back. Take two.
Nah, screw it. Move ahead. Move forward. Move forward. Okay, so good evening. This is Desperate House Witches. This is Raina Starr, and with me, as always, my lovely sister, Doreen Wallace. Say hello.
Hello.
So,
welcome to the Ides of March.
And yes, welcome to the happy Ides of March. I hope they were happy and peaceful,
yeah.
Although I have to tell you, I was dealing with some trifling bitches with some bullshit today. But before we get to that, I just want to say, in case anyone doesn't know, tonight's guest, we are having, go ahead and tell them, sis.
Yes, we are having Witch Doctor Utu, Drago and Adrian from the Dragon Ritual Drummers. If you didn't get a chance, first of all, I would like to forewarn our new listeners, we are not a PG-rated show. There will be cursing, there will be foul words, so
fuck yeah.
We hope you don't have delicate ears. But yeah, if you didn't hear their last show, which was June of last year,
uh-huh.
Oh, my God, they're a laugh riot. And they are going to be broadcasting from the mansion again.
Oh, my God. Another trip to the mansion. Oh.
We'll all be in the same wing this year. Or, you know.
I wonder which one of them is locked in the dungeon this week. It'll be interesting to find out.
I don't know. You know, maybe it's Narish since he's not going to be on.
That very well might be the reason. Go on and give your shout out, Mama.
I know. I got to give my weekly shout out to my cousin Jessica. I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess.
Love you, Jess. Hey, you know, I have to tell you, I just noticed something very interesting.
Did you?
I did. I have to tell you what I just noticed. You posted the link to our blog spot and not our show.
Well, the link to the show is actually in the blog, but you know what? I will go ahead and do that right now.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph, seriously? How many jumps through hoops are you going to make me fucking do just to get to our... I mean, really? Really?
I love it.
I do love you. Welcome to the show where one of the hosts can't even get into the chat room. Ridiculous. I don't know what that's about. Okay, so where is the link in the blog to get to the show?
It's on the bottom. I'm posting it right now.
Cheesy, crazy, lemon squeezy. I see a link to their last show with us. But I don't see a link to this show.
I'm doing it.
In essence, the one we're fucking broadcasting now. hello? Just saying. All right. So I'm gonna rant right now.
Okay, go for it, Mom.
There are people that work in companies and you know, different people have different jobs. Different people have different requirements for their jobs. I am working with some trifling bitches, and trifling bitches are pissed off because they think I'm getting some sweet-ass deal for certain hours that I do and do not have to be physically in the office. But here's the fact of the matter. Your host here is also on call weekends, nights, holidays. I have to work when the rest of the company is off sometimes. So before you start judging or being pissed at somebody for what you think they're getting away with, make sure you have all the facts about what it is they actually have to fucking do. That just gets under my skin. Certain people get to do certain things because of certain responsibilities that you may not see. So before you start getting jealous of somebody, think about the fact that you may not know the whole story. There's my rant for the night. It's out of my system. I feel better. Thanks for listening.
And I gotta say, my sister is probably one of the hardest working individuals I know. I don't think you don't even go into the bathroom without a phone.
I do go and I do take the phone. I take the phone everywhere. It's in the bathroom with me. I sleep with it. If it had a penis, I could be set for life. But alas, it does not. So. That's one thing it does not. It doesn't make me coffee. It doesn't do all the things I would like it to do. But you know what? Such is life. But, yeah, I do. And I appreciate you saying that I work hard. I do work a lot. I'm very devoted to my job. I'm very devoted to the people I care for. And I'm devoted to y'all because I love you. I love the people that listen to our show. I love the people that come on our show. You guys are awesome, you know.
And I got to say, you know, we actually, one of our listeners made a donation to our show to keep us up and running. And, you know, we greatly appreciate, they want to remain anonymous, but just wanted to give a shout out, say thank you again. We appreciate that. Also,
definitely. Thank you, whoever that is. I have no clue.
Yeah, I will tell you later because I was born with secrecy. But before I forget to tell y'all, if you've looked in the blog, we are holding a contest this month. Now, we are giving away a beautiful solstice-covered, leather-bound blank Book of Shadows. If you go to our sponsor, Cobalt Ravens Magical Notions, and you make a purchase of $25 or more between now and March 31st at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you will be entered to win. And there's all kinds of goodies, so got that out of the way.
Yay!
Anyway, hey! I don't know about anybody else, but this Mercury retrograde has been kicking my ass.
Oh, I have to tell you, it has been nightmarish. I have to make myself, we all know that Raina covers herself in hematite whenever possible during any kind of retrograde, and I actually had to turn around and make myself another bracelet. So.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm going to be working on some, and I actually made two bracelets. I made one that was just hematite, and then I made one with the entire, you know, all the, you know, the kit that you sell with all the stones in it. I made a bracelet with beads of all those stones, and then a couple of stones that were specific to me. And I haven't taken it off since I made it. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think I need all of the energies on this thing. I need them right now. And I've been, yeah. So it's definitely a month where communication is off.
Yeah, and panic. I mean, literally. I don't think I've ever had a panic attack. And it's like, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday? I mean, I literally woke up with hot flashes and, I mean, woke up in a panic and just could not shake it for most of the day. Now, so you had made me a set of meditation beads with Mercury retrograde stones. And right now, as we speak, I have that in my left part of the bra. and I have a hematite stone in my right bra. So it's like close to my skin, so but I can't carry stone because I'm like, I'm taking no chances. I don't want to go through that again. No, thank you. No.
I'm going to get you more hematite and a roll of duct tape, and we will plaster your ass with all that shit.
I'm telling you, I need to have that shit implanted in my skin. It's like,
no stone implants. I'm just saying. You're nutty.
You know, and then, like, a couple days later, I noticed other people posting it, other people going into panic attacks, and other people, like, I feel like something bad's going to happen. And that's kind of what it was with me. It was like I just felt this ominous cloud, like something, you know, like the house was going to fall down on me, you know?
Yeah, and I think what I've learned during this particular retrograde is it is more important to be quiet and observe what the hell's going on, because people are starting to show their hands and are falling all over themselves saying things that they normally wouldn't say.
Yeah.
It's been really interesting. I have given up very little information to certain people during this retrograde, because it seems like, and I want to say some, you know, I want to say things, but I'm finding it's a better idea not to. So if you're in a situation where you are wanting to say something that you normally know better than to say, get a grip on yourself and don't say anything and let other people spill their guts, because a lot of people, in the last 3 days, I've had 3 people call me with meltdowns. I mean, people that normally would not even have a meltdown are having, and they're not aware, and they're not on our you know, path. But it's really fascinating to watch people just suddenly freak out from seemingly nowhere. It's been interesting. It's been very interesting. I'm learning a lot by not saying anything.
And I got to tell you, it's like, you know, I opened my mouth at the beginning of the retrograde. I think it was like we were like a week in or something, and somebody asked me how I was doing. I was like, well, you know, actually surprisingly well, you know, this retrograde doesn't seem to be affecting me. That is like, why do I do that? What the hell is wrong with me?
Why am I inviting shit in? Why am I invoking Murphy's Law? You know, it's funny, because at the beginning of the retrograde, I was like, I'm going to get through this one, no big deal. And then shit started, like, flying off the walls, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know what, I'm just going to watch and not do anything. I'm not going to take any decisive action. I'm not going to make any important decisions. I am not going to do anything to change the course of anything. I mean, it's like trying to drive through a hurricane. Not easy. Not easy. So sometimes if you're just still, it can pass you. So I'm in the process of being still right now and watching people twirl around me. So I think this is going to be my standard practice for all retrogrades, to be still. So I'm saying that might be a good idea, folks. You might want to consider that. Just saying.
Yeah, I definitely I think it's a good idea. You know, it's like if you're driving through that hurricane, pull off the side of the road. Just, you know, go into the cafe on the side of the road, sit down, have yourself a cup of coffee and a piece of pie. Because it's like, oh, it started off mild, but oh my God, it got bad in a hurry.
And when is this bullshit over, by the way?
You know what? I think it's April 20th or April 19th. I think I heard it. If anybody knows in the chat room, please let me know. It's not over soon enough, is my way of thinking. It's like, oh, God, is it over yet?
And now it's like, I don't want to come out from under the covers until this bullshit ends. So are you going to call his Utsuness in?
Yeah, actually, I'm about 5 minutes early. You ready? You ready for this, Jenny?
Oh, are you for him, honey? Let me tell you what. I was making myself ready for him.
Oh, I'm calling you, yes. Have you seen this man in a kilt? Hello.
Hello. Just saying.
All right, let me get
Go ahead. I'm going to get my drool on, thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. What you doing?
Hey.
Welcome to the show, Dr. or Witch Doctor Utsu. I keep going to call you Doctor. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Who's doctor?
The doctor is in.
Doctor's in.
Yes. Ooh, are you wearing a kilt?
But the scrubs. It's the scrubs version. When I'm doing doctor business, I have to wear the scrubs, you know, because I get a lot of blood on.
Okay. We didn't interrupt any important surgeries, did we?
No, the person's dead, so really, time can wait. It's all good.
All right. Well, you know, we won't keep you too long because we don't want, you know, the body to start stinking. You got to get that down to the refrigerator real quick.
I'm in the morgue room. I'm in the morgue room. The DRD mansion has a morgue room just for these types of jobs because we do have to supplement our income, and what we do is we make a lot of extra money, you know, selling, you know, organs on the black market. And so, you know,
I hear that's very profitable.
It can be.
Yeah.
So you two foul-mouthed witches are up to the same old, huh?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Witching and bitching, honey. Witching and bitching. What can I say?
The Southern Belles. The Southern Belles.
Kind of. We're transplanted Southern Belles, so we're evil.
Yeah, we're not really from here. We're not from your country.
They haven't kicked us out yet.
Yeah, really. Well, if they figure out who we are, they might.
Yeah, I know, right? So you guys have had an exciting year this year, haven't you?
We had an exciting year last year. There's always one highlight every year is definitely going to Salem. That's just, you know, bar none, one of the major highlights. You're staying with Christian Day, getting a back tour, you know, seeing the whole Festival of the Dead from, you know, a very good VIP vantage point. You know, we play for him a bunch of times and stay with him, so that's always awesome. But we also went to Florida last year, which was really awesome. And then
I was going to say, you're heading to New Orleans this summer, aren't you?
Yeah, September 21st, the last day of summer. We'll be there before the last day of summer, but right at the fall equinox. We'll be there for about 4 days, and we're playing for the Greater New Orleans Pagan Pride Day. So we'll be playing during the day down at the City Park where they'll all be set up. And then later that night, on the Saturday night, they're having an after party at one of the bars down in the French Quarter. And so the bands will be playing again, and then everyone will be coming in there and drinking and having a good time. And then on Sunday, we travel with the cavalcade up for about another hour outside of the city to a place called Griffin's Nest, I believe, and it's in the bayou out north of the city, and we'll be playing there on Sunday as well. On Friday, we'll be hanging around most likely at the Voodoo Spiritual Temple and hitting the quarter, and we're basically trying to encourage any of our friends or fans that happen to be around or near there to just come join the horde, because the Dragon Ritual Drummers will be doing our best to basically make like the pirates of the old days and take the city over and just do it in grand fashion.
Doing it in style.
I'm thinking we may need to do a road trip in September. Because I think it's like 6 hours. That would be a 6-hour drive for us. Yeah.
6 hours is it?
I think so, yeah. I think 6 to 9 hours or something. Yeah, we're almost in South Carolina.
So if you don't drive a measly 6 hours to 9 hours to where the greatest party on earth in September will be, then you guys will lose all your Desperate House Witch credibility.
All right, we got to start saving up now. I think, you know, and I've never been to New Orleans, so closest I've been is La Verna, I think it was. Yeah, I can still
never heard of it.
Yeah, I took a bus from California to North Carolina. That's how I met you. That was fun. Anyway.
No, I'm
being facetious. So, since we last talked to you, you guys have started up an iTunes store as well as your CD sales from your... I'm sorry, I'm dry. Hold on a second. CD sales from your regular website. There we go.
Yeah, we're back on iTunes. So if anybody wants to buy our songs and put them on their iPods or whatever, we avoided it for a few years. You know, many, many years ago when it first came out, we were on it. But we weren't too happy with the way it was working, so we pulled ourselves off. And then now, just, you know, back last summer, towards the end of the summer, we realized we better sort of get back into that situation. So, yeah, we're on iTunes, so people can either buy a song or they can buy all of our – we only sell a few of the CDs on iTunes. But it'll take a while, but like next week we'll be releasing a brand new single. So the first – just sort of kick off the iTunes rebirth era for us, we have a brand new single that will be uploaded. It'll just be – it's not attached to any CD. It'll be one song. So we made it 8 minutes long. That way, if someone's buying a song from iTunes from us, it's going to be 8 minutes long. It's a huge, epic piece of music, and it's called Zulu Dawn. And it's a song that celebrates Shaka Zulu, the warrior king that united the Zulus. So we're appeasing his spirit right now for numerous reasons. And so we've dedicated a epic piece of music dedicated to Shaka Zulu. It'll be called Zulu Dawn. And, just keep checking out our Facebook page or whatnot, and or my page, and eventually it'll be a link to it to where it'll be on Reverb Nation, so people can just listen to it at least for free. But then if they want to buy it and add it to their rotation of music or listen to it shortly after that, it'll be available.
Awesome.
That's awesome. I know, and I actually tried to use Fenga as our intro song, but for some reason it didn't want to cooperate. And so we'll try to kind of stick that in there in a little bit, or either play Serpentine. I have both of those. And you are also, for people who don't know, you started the Niagara Voodoo Shrine. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Niagara Voodoo Shrine is it's the name of a temple and a group of people that belong to the temple, so it's an encompassing name there. It's the whole point of the Niagara Voodoo Shrine, because where we live in St. Catharines, is where Harriet Tubman's branch of the Underground Railroad ended. So a lot of Americans are familiar with Harriet Tubman, of course, and the Underground Railroad, but a lot of people don't realize is that when she was coming into Canada, because the Underground Railroad went, you know, to numerous locations, and there was literally thousands of slaves or freedom seekers that made it into Canada, but they were going to different locations. They didn't all come with just Harriet Tubman. She was just the most legendary conductor of the Underground Railroad. And so her branch of it ended in the town that we live in St. Catharines. She lived here for about 10 years. Yeah, so her building is still there. A church that gave her shelter is still there. It's a fairly decrepit neighborhood for St. Catharines, but as sad as that is because of the history, it kind of has its charm. But there's like an old abandoned lot behind the church. That's where actually people were buried, where some of the freedom seekers were buried, but they didn't have the kind of money that it cost at the time to build proper gravestones or to be able to afford to have people build them. So their graves were literally a cairn across, a cairn and across, a pile of rocks and across. So a lot of the people that Harriet Tubman brought and some of the people that were part of the Underground Railroad, you know, she was, of course, Christian, but she was also a diviner, and she was a conjurer. That's the best word to describe it, because she did utilize various spiritual practices that she learned along the way, from the Amish and from the Native Americans and from the Jews that helped as well. So there's a tapestry of various people that helped. And of course some of the slaves that were coming were, you know, practitioners of, you know, American conjure work of some sort, you know, I call it voodoo. So there's so many different fragments of spiritual practices associated with the Underground Railroad that many, many years ago was suggested that I try to find a reason in, you know, in the local area that I live in to sort of refurbish or connect with something on the Voodoo Path. And so when we discovered that, you know, the Underground Railroad ended here, that became, about year 2001, became the mission of setting that up. And, you know, in those years, I've traveled so much up and down, you know, parts of the Appalachian Trail and into the East Coast and down as far as, you know, Louisiana and over to the Carolinas that, you know, just connecting and hooking up with people via phone and email and the old MySpace days and now with Facebook and mostly... The formidable years, though, is traveling and staying with some people or having them come up and stay with me. And so we named it the Niagara Voodoo Shrine. It celebrates the lore of the spiritual practices that are akin to voodoo or conjure or hoodoo or even before it really had a name in America. There's those sorts of practices that are combinations of, you know, Native American spirituality, West African spirituality, and European folk magic all kind of combined. So that is sort of the fabric of voodoo anyway. And so... yeah, we use Harriet Tubman. Well, other people do pray to her, and when they pray to her, she does pray to the guise as Mama Moses because she was referred to as the Moses of her people for bringing the people to freedom. And so we pray to Mama Moses and to some of the followers that passed on. And so the first work we did was to go to the cemetery that there literally is no marker there and connect with some of the spirits that we could awaken and that were willing to work with us and willing to share or come and take nourishment from us. And so it has been an experiment, but an experiment in motion and a very gratifying and rewarding one. The travel at times for the Niagara Voodoo Shrine at one point was far surpassed the Dragon Ritual Drummers. I mean, the Dragon Ritual Drummers have been around for a long time, but for the first era, we played just in Canada. And so during those days, the Niagara Voodoo Shrine were traveling all over the parts of the eastern seaboard right down to the Gulf of Mexico, facilitating ceremonies, meeting up with colleagues and doing lectures and rituals and doing legwork. So that's the Niagara Voodoo Shrine and the Dragon Ritual Drummers are separate, but almost at any era of whatever members we have of the Dragon Ritual Drummers, there's predominantly going to be 2 to 3 of them that are full-on members of the Niagara Voodoo Shrine as well. And so there's some interplay in that way when we travel somewhere. We can offer at the festivals we go to that, you know, not only could we play a concert, but we can supply this ceremony, this voodoo ceremony, American voodoo ceremony, celebrating the Underground Railroad and the New Orleans Order of Service. So, it's going to be amazing. For us, going down to New Orleans in September, one of our most popular songs we play is Bambula, which celebrates the rhythm and the dance that came out of Congo Square, right in the square of New Orleans. We've reinvented the song essentially and taking it so far than, you know, from obscurity essentially. And so every time we play that song in a concert, we sort of explain what this song is, you know, as its beginning and get everyone to understand that it celebrates Marie Laveau, the voodoo queen, and the drummer Dr. John and the snake, the giant snake they would dance with at Congo Square. We talk about how that's where jazz was born. You know, that square is now also, they've renamed part of it Louis Armstrong Square, because jazz was born in Congo Square, and without jazz, which is, of course, a fusion of Irish and African music with a little bit of Native American influence as well, but without jazz, there'd be no rhythm and blues, and then there would have been no rock and roll. And so, really, pop culture in general on this globe owes something to Congo Square. So for us, since we say it so much, and we sing it so often, it's our most popular song, this will be the first time the entire Dragon Ritual Drummers will be in Congo Square, and we're going to play it there and videotape that, you know, and play that song for all the spirits, yeah.
That's
very
so cool.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, we definitely have to make a road trip. Oh, my goodness. What else was I going to ask you? I'm sorry, I got so into that story. I was going to ask you something else.
If I approved of the new pope?
Please give me your thoughts on the new pope.
Well, I'll tell you something. Drago, if Drago can get on the line there, he's down. He's having reception problems because while I'm down in the morgue, he's actually in a lower level because, you know, it is the Ides of March tonight, right? So
yes, indeed.
Drago being born in Sicily, he has a real sort of affinity for his native Roman gods. And, of course, every Ides of every month, because the Ides of March is no different than the Ides of February or the Ides of April. It's just a word that signifies the middle of the month. It's just that we've all become accustomed to knowing about the Ides of March because of Shakespeare talking about it.
Yes.
We all have to read it.
Julius
Caesar being killed.
Yes.
But the priests of Jupiter would sacrifice some sheep every Ides of March. So Drago's down there trying to corral the sheep. And, you know, at some point maybe he can use the walkie-talkie to get a hold of you guys.
He's on the line.
Well, I'm right here, actually.
Yeah.
So, Drago.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this Pope, because you are a little, you have a little understanding about these prophecies. So, tell us a little bit about this Pope.
Well, according to St. Malachi, who was an ancient Irish prophet in the Catholic Church, this is going to be actually one of the last popes. And his nickname, his moniker, is going to be Peter the Roman, where this ends all here. Now, I'm not sure if I buy into that. But Pope Frankie, he's seems like to be a really great guy. Like, when else have you got a pope named Frank? Like, when have we ever had a pope named Frank? So, and he's a Latino, Latino to boot. So I think the cool factor of this pope just shot up through the roof. And I think that you should buy. I think I'm going to put this pope in as a buy.
Yeah?
This is a buy.
I didn't say you should buy. Hang on. No. I said you should buy. You should buy stock now in this pope.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
In like so, Chanel, because I swear that dress he had on, oh my God, it was to die for.
And he's got a matching purse to boot. You should see his slippers, red slippers. Nice.
Dorothy, hello.
You know, seriously. And he changed it up. He totally changed it up. He came out in the white sash instead of the red. I was so impressed.
You know, there's already conspiracy stuff. I watched this on our national Canadian news last night, and they were discussing this because when I saw the footage of the new Pope, I saw him at the balcony, and I was looking at it. It's like, that guy doesn't look like somebody who's relishing in being a pope. That's, you know, like they showed the footage of the other guys. Their arms are up and they were smiling. They're good. This guy looks kind
yes.
of sort of caught in a deer in the headlights. So then
that's what I thought.
No.
He wasn't even on the ballot. So there was actually a cardinal from Quebec in Canada who was one of the top three contenders. So in Canada, there was a lot of people that were, you know, if they were Catholic, they were hoping for this. But apparently after the first ballot, the Quebec cardinal was in the lead, and he threw all of his support and convinced that entire place to get this guy to come, the one from Argentina, because apparently this guy, he spent all his time in the slums in Argentina. Now, granted, this guy was all over the news in Argentina, anti-abortion, anti-gay marriage, anti-contraception. So he's the same boss, same as the old boss, but I guess in their minds, he's not tainted by the corruption within the Vatican because he's very far from Rome. So this is the Quebec cardinal was kind of like the king maker and totally threw the support and said, let's get fresh blood from another part of the world who's barely spent any time in the Vatican, and he'll come in here. So there is it. That's after hearing that and finding that out, that explained a lot of how just uncomfortable he looked with the situation because he didn't,
yeah.
you know, he didn't expect God to move through all the cardinals.
You know what? It doesn't matter that he's conservative, because even Pope Benedict, Joseph Ratzinger, when he came into the papacy, he was as conservative as it gets. And you actually saw the papacy actually soften him right up, and he actually started being a lot more lenient on some of the things that he was doing. But this guy's definitely a little bit more modern. I mean, this guy has a lot of management skills because he knows how to run a parish. This guy knows, you know, a lot of work with the poor, and he's got a lot of skills that the last two popes haven't.
Yeah, that's
and
true. He does have.
Descent.
Yeah, and his Italian is impeccable.
I think it's ironic, too, that we went from the Nazi pope, a true Nazi
yep.
pope, to a
yep.
pope from Argentina, where many Nazis went after the war for some shelter, you know? So,
hey, Utu, I thought we said we weren't going to talk about that link.
I'm sorry, I know. I just broke that news. No one's even mentioned that yet. So this show is the
wow.
first official time that anyone has pointed out that the next
breaking
pope
it,
from the
it.
Nazi pope was now an Argentinian pope. And so there's still a little Nazi thread going here. The country that harbored all the Nazis that went there after World War II.
Girls, you guys have an exclusive here. Who knew? Who knew that you'd be talking about the papacy with the DRD?
Seriously.
Well, you know, I mean, God, they have not shut up about it for, like, how many weeks now? When did Homeboy quit?
I think it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that. But see, my theory is, you know, they know they can't, you know, gain followership or followers, you know, in like the United States or the European countries that are leaning more toward atheism and, you know, Christianity is here. There, you know, people are stepping away from Catholicism, but in Argentina, in the Latin countries, it's still growing.
Sure.
You know, so that was my immediate thought because, you know, I haven't been Catholic in, I think, 30 years, something like that, even though I was still going to church. I was not Catholic, you know.
Well, I also think that, you know, you mentioned about the outside of the Americas connection, but actually the Latino population in America is growing quite rapidly, and I think it could also draw in some American, a good deal of American support, quite frankly. So it'll be interesting to see, but I do agree. This guy did look a little bit like the deer in the headlights when they focused in. He kind of had a look on his face like, well, what the fuck am I going to do now? And
what you get for being a Catholic, buddy, because, you know, that's the thing. He wasn't even on the ballot. That guy entered into that conclave with zero knowledge and zero mathematical chance of becoming the Pope. He wasn't on the ballot. He wasn't even a consideration. So,
but he was previously, though.
Yeah,
wasn't
he? Runner-up last time around. Yes, he was.
Right.
Yeah.
But
right.
This time around, I'm calling it right here and now. I smell a patsy. He's a
Pope. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He's a pulpit. I love that. He's a pulpit. He's a pulpit. I love it.
Well, one way or the other, it's the first Pope of the Americas. So, you know, after 500 years of you know, the New World in the Americas, South and Central and North America, this is now the shout-out to the fact that, yeah, you know, the Americas exist. And so it's a big deal in its own way. Like, let's face it, it's got nothing to do with us, but it will affect the world. Drago,
yeah.
And if Adrian's on the line, both members of the Niagara Voodoo Shrine. Voodoo in general,
yeah.
While we don't have much to do with our particular form of it, we're not really associated with the Catholic Church as much, but voodoo practitioners under a few different guises do make a little bit of a connection with, you know, via the saints. We use holy water. So we do cross into a little bit of the Catholic mysteries, and at the end of the day, all Catholic mysteries are pagan mysteries, just changed and redone a little bit. So there sometimes... there's actually some knowledge, and Drago and I have these conversations all the time. There's actually a lot of knowledge. There's actually a lot of mysteries of paganism that didn't make it into the Wicca invention of the 50s. You know, so by studying a little bit of the practices, you know, let's face it, it's a necro cult. You know, you're going to a church. There's effigies and there's symbols of saints, of people that died. People pray to them, and every service involves drinking the blood and eating the body of your deity. So there's a lot of mysteries there that we can learn about paganism through some of the aspects of what the Catholic Church has. And so it's a valuable adversary / distant cousin / retarded fucking friend across the world, you know. So it's
well, they practice candle magic, they practice sympathetic magic, they practice invocations, and you know, it really, you know, you begin to appreciate Christian and Catholic mysteries, especially within the Catholic faith. Much more once you become a learned pagan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See the incorruptibles, those that kind of creeps me out. That really, like, you know, the when they dig up the saints or the nuns or anything, you know, and their body is like perfectly preserved, and then they wax them and.
Kind of like what we're doing right now in the morgue. You know?
Yeah, there you go. I know. Adrian's on the line. What part of the mansion are you in? Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I
hey, Adrian.
The first time everyone's talked about the Pope.
Yes.
A little surprising for your type of show, but I thought I'd chime in too. It was noted that the Pope speaks many different languages, and one of which is not English.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. The Neuf.
Yeah, the Neuf of it.
How dare he? Doesn't he know that everybody has to speak English?
Sooner or later.
I hate it when I go to another country and they don't speak English.
Come on, girls. You mean to tell me you don't love it when a man talks to you Italian?
I love it. Kill it, baby.
Mamma mia, bellissima.
Oh, hello.
Keep going, Drago. Keep going.
Okay.
Bellissima. Io vengo là e ti do un bellissimo bacio e ti faccio mancare il respiro. Mi senti?
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
He said something about bocce ball. I don't know.
Are your guys' pants still on? Are the pants still on? Did he talk your pants off? Poof, it's magic.
I can't believe you just pulled that one out of a hat.
Yeah. Oh, is that where he keeps it?
Yes.
He keeps it in the hat. That's an interesting place to keep it.
Adrian, where are you in the house, man? Where are you in the house?
I went up to the tower.
Oh.
Oh.
You looking at the comet?
I was just checking out the moon. It's still a little cloudy around here, but there are some breaks in it. So I just thought I'd come up here and just check out. Grab my camera, grab the phone. Good
drop
thing we're all
separate. They were saying that you were doing some of the sacrificing tonight, so.
That's
so you're not dropping anybody off of there, right? Oh, Drago.
Wasn't anything about a goat, was it?
That's Drago's job.
No.
He's talking Italian to the sheep down there before he cuts their throats.
Correct.
I got it right down.
There shall be sacrificing tonight.
All right. Let me finish my tea and I'll join you.
Sure, man.
Another
not
Friday
really
night.
Loudy. I got the big doors locked up, eh?
I got the key still.
Okay, well, just bring beer down.
Okay.
I'm almost out.
All right. I've been reading some of the comments from people, and Karen Moon said to come to Alabama. She's going to hide us there.
You know what, though? But she'll never get back out.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. We know Karen. We love Karen. She's safe.
We'll be locked up in her dungeon.
For a little bit.
Yeah, we would love to get to Alabama if someone pays for the plane tickets, a la the people from Florida and the people in New Orleans, you know. We will go anywhere that someone supplies the plane tickets to, essentially. And we drop all fees for that, which is pretty much true, you know. We might be flying out to Calgary in Canada as well, which is out in the Midwest of this country, and that's kind of like one of the Bible Belts. Canada's weird. It has a few Bible Belts. And country is so spread out. You know, Canada is so different from the States. Everyone in America, they travel or move quite often throughout the various states. In Canada, it's not like that. Like, our entire population is amassed, you know, very close to the U.S. border because that's just, you know, the country's new. It was always very small. And the population is amassed along there because, you know, the northern whole part of it is not exactly the most hospitable. And the country is just so segregated and it's so different. There's always talk of various parts of the provinces of Canada that want to get out of Canada. You know, kind of the same talk you're hearing these days in the States. But Calgary is now like the new booming sort of explosion of population and industry, you know, out there. But anyway, there's some pagans out there. And much to our surprise, out of nowhere, they apparently is a festival too. So as of now, it's supposedly we're going to get flown out to Calgary in the summer as well. So. We're not playing as much this year. Like, this year we're not playing as much. We have a few pretty wild projects in the works right now. We don't really want to jinx or nothing like, but enough people do know that we have been getting a lot of interest and a lot of interaction with people in the television world. Of course, our friends Kristen Day and all the Salem Witches have already filmed a show, that type of a reality show, which is supposedly going to be aired in the spring, and that production company was on the phone with us for quite a bit as well. And so, you know, some of this, we're still trying to, we want to break into the next level of music, which is into the world music scene. And so, you know, we decided this year we wanted to sort of take a slightly different pace and spend a little more time dedicated to some of the things that people are contacting us about. And it takes a long time. Let's face it, we don't have a manager, so it's
right.
self-managed, right? It's so we're.
Well, you know,
hey,
I need a day job.
What, you need another job?
Yeah, I'm just gonna get that. Let's see. I only have 5 at this point.
Oh.
But yeah, I could take on 6. Not a problem.
That's a very bad Jamaican. Bad Jamaican.
Is she applying for the band manager or the road manager? Those are 2 very different jobs. I want to see her try and corral us on the road.
No, I'm not brave enough for that. That would be fun. I would totally take a road trip with you, but I am not corralling y'all.
No, that's like herding cats.
As the current road manager, I can assure you it is the shittiest job ever because it's everybody has – it is herding cats. Literally, I'm telling you right now, when we pull into a town somewhere and the 6 of us get out of our van, it is not even possible for all 6 guys to cross the street at the same time or go in the same direction. It's pathetic. There's arguments across the street. We're going this way. What's that? Over there. Hey, look at this. Where's so-and-so? Oh, yeah, it's suicidal. There's cyanide pills carried.
Little ADHD.
Leashes for them.
Borderline alcoholic.
Those toddler leashes? We need the big size for them. Just put them on all on the leash.
Oh, God. I don't think that would help.
Well, a couple of guys were on leashes a few years ago at the Rochester Erotic Arts Festival. We played that, but, you know, that's another story.
But I'm from.
Those kind of events. Those are interesting.
I always learn something.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, managing, I totally do that. But corralling, no. I've got a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old, and I've barely got any hair left. So, yeah.
After one weekend corralling the Dragon Ritual drummers, you'll be begging for a horde of 16-year-olds. I can assure you that.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no. It's the same thing. You won't be able to tell.
Really, since we're taking it a little easier this year, you know, the major highlights. I mean, we will be playing a couple of local events because where we live is a tourist area. Essentially, we play in a few parades every year for the Lions Club. We can't turn those down. It's easy. It's fun. It's good pay, and we don't have to leave town. And it's for a good cause. The Lions Club does awesome stuff. You know. So we're playing a festival in Canada at the end of the summer called Mythwood, which is amazing. And they built – it's a pagan-owned property in Canada, and they built – they just bought it this year. And they built this stage, which looks like a castle. Like, they literally built this stage. It looks like a castle. And as they were building it, the guys were telling us, they kept saying, make sure it's going to hold the DRD. Make sure it's going to hold the DRD. So we're going to be playing that one in the summer. Of course, we're going to New Orleans. And then, of course, we'll be in Salem again. And Salem's going to be a trip this year because Christian, who runs the Festival of Dead, he usually had a few bands that played upstairs. So the way it works for the last 6 years that we've been going is that we play downstairs. We're the only band that usually plays on the main stage down the main floor, just because drumming kind of can cross over. And then we usually go right upstairs and play a set of music up there for about 45 minutes in this other room. And so people that want that kind of thing, they come up there. And up to this point, there's been usually a couple of other pagan bands that played upstairs at different times of the night. So this year, Christian has wiped clean. He's not bringing any more bands up there, and he's finally going to let us do a ceremony up there. So after our set downstairs, when we go up there, we're doing a ritual that encompasses American voodoo, necromancy, ceremonial magic, and we're going to be connecting and finishing off a series of magics over the last few years to connect with Chichiba, the Black Witch of Salem. The only reason there was a witch craze was because of the slave girl that was teaching the girls the magic, telling them the stories. Right? So that's the only reason that there is, you know, this juggernaut of tourism and the whole witch city is because of Chichiba. So we've been doing work for the last few years to sort of like almost canonize her in a way, you know, like be the popes of American voodoo and witchcraft and say that we deem Chichiba as now a attainable spirit. And that's what's going to be the highlight this year as well. I mean, literally we'll still be cleaning the shit off our shoes from New Orleans, and then that next month we'll be hitting Salem for Halloween. So that's the highlights of our year, and a few surprises will be dropping throughout the year when we get to them. But that those shows plus iTunes, you know, and we have our new song coming out in a couple of weeks. So everyone just keep checking out our page, our website, our Facebook page and such like that, because sooner or later this single, Zulu Dawn, will be available. And again, like we say this all the time, but this is by far, bar none, the best song we have ever recorded. And it's very unique. Our producer that we've been working with for the last few years, Brian McPhee, who's kind of reinvented our approach of recording and or even our approach of performance, because like when we go in to record with him, the previous CDs, all the years ago, the CDs we don't sell anymore, we literally recorded just a bunch of guys in the room drumming, you know, and then we come and add a couple of tracks after that. So it was very raw, very raw. They were good, though. It was fun to play it like that, but we were never going to get any of that music played on the radio because of the quality of the recordings. Even though they were good, you know, he just reinvented everything. And in fact, this is the first time we've had a non-Dragon Ritual drummer member play a drum on one of our songs. So he's such a huge part of our band and our fabric that at one point we were like, Brian, why don't you just play a drum on this song with us? Just go for it. Play a drum with us. So he did. He played a drum on there with us. So yeah, that's really wild. And so he just did so much work to mix this so that when anyone this song quality, like any of the songs that you can buy from us, we only sell certain CDs anymore. So if people have the old ones, that's awesome. But the only things we officially sell anymore, he's done. By when I mean producing, I mean not just somebody who's engineering it, produce, like, you know, just hitting the buttons and recording. This guy changes our performance, you know, like he says, you guys have to play this part now, and you got to do this. Like, he breaks down our music, and that's what a producer does, and that's something that even myself and Ian from the band, who were in bands for years, never experienced that, because very few people do. And then you realize why huge bands in the world die to have certain producers, and they don't want to work without that producer, because they are another member of the band, essentially. So he put so much time and effort into this. So literally this song could be played, you know, in a movie, you know, and it wouldn't have to be changed. Nothing would have to be changed. It's that good. Or a surround system. You're going to hear stuff all through the song. He's mixed it pentatonically and just across.
Oh, wow.
It's like a song that it's a song we played all kinds of horns in there and so many levels of percussion to make it sound literally like a horde of voodoo warriors in a giant battle with just take your pick, you know, whether, you know. So it's a very epic piece, 8 minutes long. And that's the baby that we started working on, you know, shortly after Christmas, that we said, well, let's get a new song out.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to hear it. I'm so excited. I know. Well, would you guys be willing to take a couple calls?
Sure.
Yeah, after that, you want to
talk
to a couple people? I know. Hold on just one second. We've got area code 334. I believe this is the Alabama kidnapper.
Uh-oh.
It sure is.
This is Karen. How are you doing?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hey, Karen.
Good?
Hi.
Hi, Karen.
I just wanted to thank you guys. I have a few pieces from your repertoire on my MP3 player, and It is the one thing that has saved my sanity several days at work. Whenever things are getting weird, it's like, okay, pull up DRD on the playlist.
Wow, that's awesome.
And,
antidepressant.
Well, my supervisor asked what I was listening to one day, and I handed him the headphones, and he listened for a moment, and his acquired taste and hands them back to me. It's like, well, no, you just don't know what you're listening to.
Wow. Well, thank you for the compliment.
Thank you very much.
And if you,
thank you.
If you folks do find your way through Alabama, just let me know.
You got it.
I promise I'll at least consider letting you go.
Considering
it. Hey, Raina knows me.
Is now a good time to tell her that we actually bite?
So do I.
She likes that, though.
Perfect. I'm in.
Yay.
Ciao, bello.
These are the times I wish I could take out my teeth.
Oh, my God.
I don't bite.
Give it time, buddy. Give it time.
Oh,
that was bad.
Someone's wearing the muzzle tonight.
I wonder if Karen's boss happened to be the one guy. You know, your guys' show is definitely the place to share this. About a year ago, or just under a year ago, we got this weird email from this guy who basically said on the email to us, "Do you guys even know what music is? Do you know what melody is? I mean, what's with all the drums? This, your guys' music sucks, essentially." And that's the first time we ever got a message like that. So I was like, wow. So I answered him back. I was like, well, you know, it is definitely drumming music, so it's kind of hard to have melody in there. I was like, but, you know, sorry to disappoint, but, you know, hey, we try, you know, blah, blah, blah. He goes, well, yeah, I listen to it on our work radio all the time. I guess, you know, hey, we're getting played on the radio somewhere from Korea, and he's listening to this New Age Korean station, and our music gets played all the time there. So he's telling me, every time it comes on, it's like some kind of a headache. And I couldn't believe he just kept dissing us and dissing us.
Because.
So I was like, who is this guy? So, you know, you actually can search an email. So I searched the email. And when I did, I discovered, doesn't this guy have a fetish for frickin' breast milk, all right? He's got a page and everything. Oh, yeah. He loves breast milk. He loves it, and he wears diapers, and he's a bad baby, and all this kind of stuff. And I was stunned. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So finally, I emailed him back. I was like, hey, are you the same guy, so-and-so, I won't say his name, who has a little penchant for breast milk, this, that, and the other? He's like, I'm sorry. Please just drop it. I was just offering an opinion. I'm like, hey, listen, buddy, I would love to tell you to suck it, but, you know, you kind of already do that. So, I mean, you know. He begged for mercy. By the end of it, he begged for mercy, and then eventually said, buddy, don't ever blame anyone for getting played on New Age radio, all right? Like, that's a sign of success for us. Thank you very much. And we just dissed him like crazy. But, yeah, you got to watch out. You know, the guy called us up on email, told us we sucked, and then literally discovered, well, he's got a thing for sucking mama's breast milk.
Wow.
How did he call you on the email? That's interesting.
You got to raise.
And by the way, that's the first time I've seen breast milk pages, and I was horrified. It took me a little while not to forget some of the things I saw.
I would say offhand, considering the source takes as a compliment.
Yeah, but did you have to bookmark his page?
Dude, he sent me his page.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Adrian's watching it right now. I can see it on the monitors of the DRD screen. Adrian's looking at the film right now.
No, I still have it in the message when you sent it to me, and I'm like, what the hell? You know, if the guy
has more than
frightening, then don't listen to it. Because there are millions of people out there who wait for us.
Mm-hmm.
Millions? Well,
millions.
That hasn't registered in the iTunes bank account yet, but we're open.
But we like the way you think, Adrian. You keep thinking that way.
Yeah. That's the kind of thinking you get when you're up on the tower. You know, you start thinking about world domination.
Yeah. My head is all clear now.
Adrian's actually doing some fun stuff right now. We send a lot of offerings over Niagara Falls to the dragon spirit. That, you know, the natives that used to live in this region before they were routed by the Iroquois, they used to placate the serpent energies of the region. They were mound builders. And so the Niagara Falls was a chasm and a sacred place of the ancient horned serpent that lived there. And so we're fixing to be making some more offerings. So, you know, every year we try to send something over the falls, you know, a fake canoe. When I say fake, I mean it's not wood, but Adrian has these ways of making them out of cardboard with this wax, and we seal it and stuff. It's pretty impressive. So there's a couple of barrels and a canoe in the works right now. So that's some point they're either going to a good home or going over the falls with some offerings, you know, to the dragon.
Over the falls. Over the falls.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
That, something just occurred to me, too, that I wanted to share with you guys. There was a picture that was shared recently. I don't know if it was on Utu's page or the band's page, of the cloud formations over the falls.
Right.
With the red clouds and the dragon and the flame and all that. That's my desktop now.
Oh, right. Okay, I remember I remember you posting that on there. Yeah, that wasn't even Photoshop. That's from somebody sent that to us. That's from a Niagara tourist sharing photo. So somebody just happened to be up on one of the buildings at sunrise.
Oh.
So when you see the sun, we've actually been – we go there a lot. So we've rented a few places in the top buildings for various reasons. And that's where the – of course, the sun and the moon rise relatively in the same area. So we've seen the full moon rise there before and a couple of sunrises. So, yeah, if you see the sunrise over that horizon, that's on the Canadian side looking towards the States. That picture was spectacular. That was very intense.
It is gorgeous. And if anybody ever doubts the presence of the dragon spirit there, all they have to do is look at that picture.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
There's actually quite a few. We used to see a lot more of them a few years ago, but there's definitely quite a few photos when you see, like, the Maid of the Mist, like that name, that refers to the native maiden that was sacrificed over the falls. Now, there's various forms of the myth, but a sacrifice is a sacrifice, whether she, you know, volunteered to do it or that she was sent over in the canoe. But that's where it all started, with the sacrificing to the thunder spirit, the thunder serpent at the falls. And so she was called eventually when the Europeans showed up and started to understand and learn a little bit about the lore. They were fascinated about that. So the Maid of the Mist, which is what those boats that traverse the river, you can go as a tourist on the boats, they're named after her. But if you go to the Niagara Falls, and it's best to do it, you know, at night, especially like later at night, you know, because you can still see the mist. It's all lit up. Or even when the lights go out, it's a modern city. There's plenty of light. But the mist does form all sorts of apparitions. It takes the form of the maiden. It takes the form of serpents, spirits. You know how many people like commit suicide there a year? It's a staggering number. Like, it's averaging around a couple of hundred, they say, a year, that people go there from all over the world and jump into that river. Some people survive, some people don't. But the thing of that there's people that still just give themselves to that water. It's pretty intense. And so there's a really macabre presence there, but a very serene one. So anyone that works with the entity of death in her many guises, any of the spirits of death, then the Niagara Falls is a very attractive place, because you are looking at literally a place where, you know, thousands of spirits dwell. You know, they dwell in the caves behind the falls. You know, they are residents of the serpent and the maiden. You know, and so there's a beautiful healing aspect to that, because death is death. And so people have given their lives there for whatever their reason. But that doesn't change the fact that those spirits live there. And so that myth does very impressive things. And the best place to see from the Canadian side, when you see the falls pouring over, you see the mist take one form. But the mystery that a lot of people don't realize is on the American side, it's actually a bit more intense, because the Canadian side is very developed. It's very developed in Niagara Falls, very, very concrete. You can stand and see the Horseshoe Falls and such. But on the American side, that's State Park over there. So while there's some buildings, when you just go slightly north of the falls, it's all State Park. It's all grassland. It's beautiful. And there's all these little islands you can walk onto. And therefore, you're seeing the mist from behind the falls now. And that's when they take a different meaning, you know. And so one of our good friends, Shibubu, Ron Chevrey, was with me in Niagara Falls, New York, just a few days ago. And so that's the first time he got to see that. And he was like, holy shit. Like, oh, my God, you just see the mist coming up. And it was literally taking the forms of people and just moving around, even broad daylight.
Wow.
You know? It's very intense. Mm. And just a couple of weeks ago, somebody jumped over the falls again, you know. Like, literally.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It happens literally once a week. One or two people, sometimes three, you know, jump in that river, you know, and they go over the falls.
Spirits in the dragon's breath.
The strange thing, though, is that I grew up about 10 miles from the St. Lawrence River, near the Prescott Crossing.
Yeah.
And I've never been to the falls.
Wow.
I'm going to have to rectify that one of these days.
We've always toyed with trying to have some sort of a Niagara Falls pagan gathering here, you know, at some hotel or something, and totally just immerse everybody in those mysteries. You know, we could all just walk down to the falls and, you know, in groups of people and stuff. But again, that's the kind of thing that takes a lot of planning, and it's hard to do when you're playing like once a week somewhere in America, like we are. We have been for the last few years. So one of these days, I'm gonna have to do something at the falls.
Well, I will make room for the next caller. But thank you, gentlemen. And
thanks, Karen.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Love you, Karen.
Bye.
So we have another caller?
Yeah, we actually do. But, wow, I would love to hear more about that, because that is fascinating. Just, you know, watching, I mean, literally, like, the mist forms bodies.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think of it. You know what? There's actually a Niagara Falls. There's a couple of Niagara Falls cam views, 24-hour views online. And so sometimes when we do, actually, believe it or not, certain rituals, we'll just be like, go get the cam on there and let's just look at the falls, even though we can't be there that night. We're only 20 minutes or 15 minutes from it at any given time, whatever we're doing. And so sometimes we'll look at it. But, yeah, like, it does form apparitions, you know. It's mystical. And, of course, you have all the negative ions from the waterfall itself pouring up And there's just such a, you know, look at, there's statues on one on the American side and one on the Canadian side to Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla, like the mysterious scientist,
yeah.
He lived in Niagara Falls. He came there. He's the reason that hydroelectricity is being utilized in Niagara Falls. That was his vision. He was backed by Westinghouse.
Yeah.
That's Nikola Tesla came there. He's the one that harnessed that. So there's just so much, so many strange paradigms of Niagara Falls. It's just a, there's a book that I own that we share in the mansion here, and it's called Niagara Falls, the Eternal Circus. And that's because that's
Ooh.
What it is. There's so much macabre, and it all starts with the maiden sacrifice over the falls. Then came the Victorian era and all the daredevils going over in barrels and going over contraptions and such like that, you know. And then there was just, you know, the most disturbing story is a promoter in the early 1900s who got a schooner and loaded it and did this to get a bunch of people to come and stay at a hotel on the Canadian side. This is pretty terrible. But this guy loaded up this schooner with two bears, a moose, a bunch of dogs, a bunch of foxes, birds and everything, and sent it over the falls on purpose just to do that. And, you know, apparently the bears got out of the boat and swam to Goat Island just before the boat went over. And apparently the only animal that actually survived was a goose. But, you know, it's just such a strange, macabre thing to it. And then never mind the – literally between the Victorian era and now, talking thousands, like – thousands of people that have committed suicide there or died in a stunt going over the falls. Those spirits dwell there. Parts of them are stay there. And when we work with that dragon, we know that that cave, the cave of the mystical horned serpent, the rainbow serpent, and his maiden, his Indian maiden that soothes him and comforts him and placates him, they are their hosts, their residents are all of those spirits, you know. And so, again, anyone who works with necromancy or works with the entities of death, Niagara Falls is like a rose that has a beautiful smell to it because it's just so unreal that happens. You know, there's so many people that die there and it still has that beauty, and that's just the mystery of death, you know. It's mysterious and it's beautiful.
Wow.
I foresee many road trips in my future. I'm like, kidding out my sister. We're going.
Okay. Yeah,
she's like, I'm not messing with necromancy. That's you.
Yeah, no, I don't mess with that. That's out of my league. That is out of my league. I am not ashamed to admit there are things out of my league, and necromancy is definitely one of them.
Well, it's not that foreign. I bet you a few elements of some of the things that the average Wiccan or pagan does, at least it's Samhain, is going to border on necromancy. Like, it is just working with the dead. It's working with the mysteries of the dead. So there are times that I think some of us in the pagan world aren't even aware that what they're doing falls under the paradigm of necromancy. But, you know, as a constant practice, maybe not. But, you know, when we're dealing with our ancestors, when we're trying to animate our ancestors or leaving offerings for them or communicating with them or communicating with spirits through tarot cards or anything like that, that's necromancy. You're dealing with the spirits of the dead. And therefore, you know, even paranormal explorers, the paranormal, you know, investigators, if they're working with some of their machinery and or their psychic abilities, well, they're now experimenting with necromancy.
Well, you know what? You make a very good point. And, I can't disagree with what you just said.
So you were involved in it. You didn't even know it.
Yeah, you know what? I guess so. And thank you for giving me that piece of wisdom, because that's something that I didn't even connect them, and I should have. And thank you. That was good for me. Good for
probably
me to learn.
Probably the best book for anybody, like, you know, of the average Wiccan or pagan to get would be Christian Day's book, the witch's book.
Well, I don't know about average Wiccans. That book is, like, pretty heavy. I have a copy of it.
Yeah.
And it is a good book. I do recommend it, but not for beginners. Definitely not for beginners.
Well, you all got to start somewhere. Sometimes it's right down here in our morgue, you know?
There you go.
Oh, Bessie here. We're trying to get Bessie to come back to life. You know, the occasional lightning storm, you know, the occasional incantation combined, we're trying to get her back to life, you know, and she's very special to us. We're preserving her the best, and we're just so far, we're getting closer. One of these days.
No, Utu, you know that I've got the sacrifice almost ready for that.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, tonight, the Ides of March, we tend to do a good one there with the sheep. And
to Saturn, yes.
A little bit of that blood will hopefully, you know, get her to open an eye, you know. We've gotten an eye opened before, and then she closes it again, so we know we're getting close, you know.
You know what? I found a nickel. If you put, like, nickels underneath the armpits with like, battery clips, you know, and just kind of, like, crank her up, sometimes that'll like, jumpstart them.
Yeah.
It will, you know.
Ooh, we generally use a hand crank generator.
Yeah.
Oh,
we got a very obscure old book, Niagara Falls Necromancy by Nikola Tesla. So we've been trying to utilize some of that as well, but you know, thank God Adrian reads Russian.
And that book is not to be confused with Adrian's book of Drunkomancy.
True.
There are some time-honored traditions in that book.
Yes, there are, my friend. Yes, there are.
I'm just going through the nickels right now.
Oh,
so who's our next caller?
We
have. Who wants to talk to us?
He's been waiting for a little while, so we're gonna.
What do they want to know? We want to hear some questions.
Where Hoffa's buried? You guys know that, right?
Where you?
Well, Dragos, don't say nothing, Drago.
If I said something, I'd have to kill everybody out there.
Oh, okay. Never mind. We'll keep that on the down low. Hey, Brian.
Right.
Hello. And I'm on a
dial. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
So, what's new, everybody?
Everybody at once. Brian.
Brian.
Is this a Brian that we have ever met?
This is Reverend Brian, and we've talked several times, I think, on here and on Hex Education as well.
Oh, okay.
But if you don't remember me, it's perfectly fine.
Where are you from?
South Carolina, Myrtle Beach.
Oh, okay. Nice.
No,
and
not really.
From our neck of the woods. So did you have a question?
Actually, no. I was just listening in and praying my phone didn't die on me.
Oh, okay. I thought you were calling in for a question. I'm sorry, honey.
No, it's been one of those days, darling. It's been one of those days.
Aw.
Well,
but,
at least you live in South Carolina where the weather's nice.
Yeah,
well,
I will give you that one.
It was freezing this morning. Oh, my God.
Oh, honey, you don't know the word freezing.
Exactly.
That's true. They're up north. We don't know what cold is.
Yeah, it was 30 degrees.
Like effect snow. Indiana, I know cold.
Yeah.
Indiana's cold.
Yeah, I'm from originally from outside of Indianapolis, a small town called Greenfield. I know the cold.
Right on. Wow. Brutal. What are you a reverend of there, Brian?
I am ordained out of Lorien Christian Church. I study pretty much every spiritual faith out there. I don't have a set one that I don't have at least some part in.
Hmm. Whose church? Lorien Christian?
Yes.
Is that Christian Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Lori Bruno. I think it's just Lori Bruno's church, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I wouldn't have found it if it wasn't for Christian.
Okay, right on. Yeah, Lori Bruno's a good good friend of ours. We love her.
She's amazing sometimes when she's not out helping everybody. She's busy.
We always cherish the times that we get to hang out with her in Salem as well.
Yep. She's a good spirit.
Uh-oh, we lost somebody. Oh, no.
Who's we
lost? I thought we lost Adrian there.
No, I'm here.
Does anybody else want to talk to us?
I'm still here.
It was Brian that we lost. Okay.
Bye, Brian.
Bye, Brian. Sorry.
His phone.
Thanks for
died.
Stopping by, y'all.
Bye.
Y'all come back now.
That's the adage I was looking for.
So yeah, we need to definitely try to get down and see y'all and when you're in New Orleans, because I prefer the further south when it's colder, and in September it's at least a little bit colder. So that's perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank God it's not in August. I mean, I was in New Orleans last August, and, like, you know, I forget just how hot the south is in August, especially right on the Gulf of Mexico in the swamps. I mean, at 2 in the
morning,
28 degrees, you know, you walk out to an oven, it's like, oh, my God. But it feels so good. Oh, I love it.
And I could handle the heat. It's the breathing through a wet washcloth feeling that I don't like, you know, because I grew up in California, so I'm used to arid heat. It's like, I'm not a summer person. I'm really not. My sister can attest to that.
Yeah, she's not.
It's like, it'll be spring for 2 weeks, and then I'm like, when's fall? When's fall?
Yeah.
When's it going to get cold again? See, I should move up by you guys.
Well, there you go.
That would be good. Exchange. When it's too hot for you, that's when we want to do the exchange. We'll hang out with your husband.
Oh, there you go.
I'll do an exchange. Yeah. I'll trade my sister for one of the Dragon Ritual drummers.
We'll teach him lots of bad habits.
Oh, hey, we have those already. Come on.
That would be awesome. Forewarning, though, I'm the one who can cook, so y'all will be eating out for quite a bit.
We're all chefs. You kidding me?
Wait, I forgot. I know, let's see. Doctor.
Body parts? Oh, man, can we cook some body parts?
There you go.
You wouldn't know the difference if it was pork or human. You wouldn't know.
No.
Is that like a blend?
Yeah. As long as you cover it with the right sauce, you're good.
Oh, God. Oh, this is not coming out well.
Oh,
it's devolving into something more frightening than I can imagine. All right.
I think
you're
all getting
serious. Why are we on the same page?
The delirium is running rampant.
Well, I tell you what, we are going to wrap up here real quick. We've got a few minutes left. I'm going to post your Facebook page one more time. Do you guys have any idea when you're going to drop your new single?
Well, we theoretically are going to release the single next week. So if people just keep checking out our Facebook page, then that'll be the place that we'll have the link to it on our Reverb Nation page. So there's a link to it. On the Facebook page for the Dragon Ritual Drummers, there's a little box that says My Band. You click that, it opens up another window to where you can hear our songs and stuff like that. And,
oh, okay.
And so sometime next week, we'll be dropping it. All our pages, all our Facebook pages will share the link, and we'll be releasing that next week. It'll be a little while before people can buy it, because it takes a long time for iTunes to actually publish the new song. So, but it will be available for people to hear, and when they hear it, they're going to want to buy it. So that's the point.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then just to keep their eyes open on our website and on our Facebook page for shows, and see if anyone can meet up with us. And of course, again, to anyone who's listening, if you want to experience a hell of a good time, then try to make it to New Orleans when we are there in September. For the few days that we are there, we plan on turning her inside out, sideways.
It's awesome. I love you guys.
When in sale, or when in New Orleans, go to Hex, Old World Witchery, 1219 Decatur Street.
Indeed. And then after that, head on over to the New Orleans Voodoo Spiritual Temple on North Rampart Street.
So let me ask you a question. Next time you're on Christian show, you're going to be plugging us too, right?
We're going to be on Christian show next week.
Awesome.
We will be listening. And we will mention the Desperate House Witches. We will say
yes.
The Desperate House Witches. We will tell everybody all kinds of stories about terrible things that we've done to you, and that you okayed, and it was all right. So it was consent, and it was fine. And,
we made it.
I'm
just going to make up nasty lies anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
Well, But,
that's
know,
fine.
I'm going to be in the chat room, you know, affirming or denying. I feel like, that wasn't me. That wasn't, no, it wasn't me.
So I got Adrian. Adrian, you better come down off the tower, come down to me in the morgue, help me clean up, and then we'll go down to the catechisms and meet up with Drago. Ian will be down there and the rest, and we'll start killing them sheep. It's the Ides of March.
Hey, all right. Beer, guys, bring beer.
Just another bring Friday beer. Night. Just another Friday night in the Dragon Ritual Drummer's Mansion.
There you go.
Guys, thank you
Buona
so
sera,
much.
Carissimi. Buonasera.
Buonasera.
All right, ladies, thank you so much.
Thank
thanks for being with us, guys.
Love
all right.
You on.
Good night.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Oh. I love having them on.
They're a riot.
Oh. Hold on a second. What? I put my sister on hold. I am so sorry. I put you
that's
on hold.
That's all right. I've been on hold many, many times with you. This is not a first.
Yeah. At least I didn't hang up like I did the last time. I'm so sorry
true.
About that, guys. I really am. I've like just ended the entire episode without finishing. That was my bad. I was half asleep. So would you like to do a blessing?
No, because I'm half asleep. You give the blessing.
All right. Well, that was a fun show. That was interesting. Hopefully nobody
it
got too much blood in their clothes. And
yeah.
You know, hopefully you can clean that up. But yeah, we love having them on. They're fun. But thank you guys for coming. We hope that, you know, Mercury retrograde is not treating you too badly. Hopefully you guys will come out unscathed. Just remember,
yes.
Ride it through, breathe, don't talk to anybody.
No, not don't talk to anybody. Just what I said earlier was listen more than speak and don't make any permanent decisions during this time because things are in a serious flux and people are going to show their hands. So make sure you watch what other people are doing as opposed to giving them information, take information from them. So it's going to be interesting. Things are shifting.
Yes, be observant. There we go. That's the theme for the next couple of weeks. Be observant and
be
listen.
Observant.
Yes.
I agree. That's it.
And ground. Grab your hematite. Hematite will help. It has helped. You know, like, oh, God, the past couple of weeks. So grab that, go ground yourself. So, you know, springtime's coming, so kick off those shoes and go stick your feet in the grass. Reconnect with mom.
Yep.
But, so we will be back possibly next week. I don't think we have anything scheduled. I think we're having an open mic next week.
Open.
Open. Open says to me.
Open
so,
says me.
Yeah, it says me. Et tu, Brute. Sorry, I had to fit that in
somewhere. Oh, here we go.
I'm funny. I'm funny. Anyway.
You're right.
I love you guys. Thank you guys for coming, and we will talk to you next time. We are out. Bye.
Bright blessings. Bye.
Bright blessings.